Today, the only item on our agenda is a public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 1091. This bill would create environmental investment tax credits. And it's after our forecast last Friday, we realized that we are in a position now where even a very, very worthy program like this will not have the revenue stream to support it. So I don't anticipate moving this bill today, but decided to go ahead with the hearing because of the amazing work that's gone on this bill with the Oregon Business Association, the environmental community, and some business people that you'll be hearing from who are just doing some very exciting things out there. So this will be more of a launch, and it's not out of the question that we could find some revenue somewhere and move something like this. But it won't be today, and it most likely won't be this session. But I wanted to get the information out on the record, and especially to differentiate the difference between this and the old environmental pollution tax credits, which unfortunately were often used to pay off people for complying with existing law. This bill would really reward innovation and creativity, and would not be available for people who are just complying with state law. So before we start, I'll let counsel add anything that we need on this bill in terms of details.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I guess the only thing I would add in terms of the credit that is in there, and I think you're going to hear a number of people talk about details of what constitutes an environmental benefit and so far, but the bill does contain a total annual cap of $10 million per year and a $5 million cap per facility, and there's a sunset date on the application of 12/31/2013, so those are a couple of the controls that are in there. In the current form of the bill, it does have the Department of Revenue tracking the credit and notifying the Environmental Quality Commission when those caps are met, and that does represent something of a divergence from existing policy with respect to other credits that have caps.
Okay, thank you. And we will have the latest iteration of the amendments on this bill available soon. We're getting copies made. And so for anybody who's interested in this bill, I encourage you to pick them up when they arrive. This has been a fast-evolving process. So the format today, I'm going to start out with two panels of proponents of the bill, and I've asked them to keep their comments as brief as possible, and then I will devote an equal amount of time to opponents of the bill, either individually or in panels, depending on their preference. And then we'll alternate between panels or individuals on each side until we run out of people who want to talk. So we'll start out with our first panel, Lisa Adato from the Oregon Business Association, Kristen Johnson from Denton Plastics, and Myron Burr from Bacher Siltronic. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair and committee, thanks for giving me the opportunity to come and speak today. My name is Lisa Adato, and I'm with the Oregon Business Association, and I'm pleased to provide testimony in support of the Environmental Enhancement Tax Credit. The Oregon Business Association is one of Oregon's leading voices for business. We focus on Oregon's long-term economic success. We don't represent any particular sector. We promote public policies that benefit all business sectors. We have, as members throughout the state, we have farmers and lawyers and wind developers and food processors, utilities, apparel manufacturers, software developers, bankers, and many, many more. We are unified by a forward-looking and balanced approach to public policy issues. The concept of this tax credit is simple. It provides a tax credit for businesses that go above and beyond the regulations, and that for companies that provide a substantial reduction in pollution. Their credits will be awarded with a priority going to those projects that demonstrate best practices or priorities of the DEQ innovative projects. There's a credit allowed for those companies that reduce greenhouse gases. I've talked to many companies throughout Oregon who can use this credit to benefit Oregon, and some of those companies will be testifying here today very soon. We believe that if this bill is enacted into law, it creates numerous benefits for Oregon, including environmental benefits, and you'll hear more about that. The bill will stimulate businesses to go above and beyond in protecting Oregon's environment. Development of new practices that enhance sustainability. This law rewards those pioneer companies who are inventing and investing in new ways to create products and services that reduce pollution, replace toxic materials, reduce waste, and reduce carbon use. And as these new practices are developed, Oregon's pioneer companies can export new technologies to other states. This bill creates a new partnership between the environmental community and the business community. Many in the business community are proud of their role in environmental protection, and the tax credit rewards innovation in this arena. Economic benefits. The law will provide incentives for companies to invest in Oregon and provide new jobs. And this will promote Oregon's competitive advantage as a leader in sustainable practices. Oregon has determined that it will compete against other states as a leader and sustainable business practices. This is our business plan as a state, and this bill will encourage companies throughout Oregon to experiment and pioneer new practices. In Oregon, we've seen a huge interest in the development of renewable energy and recycling. OBA has been an active player and a supporter of these activities. We applaud the legislature for being proactive in the important fight to reduce greenhouse gases while creating new economic opportunities for Oregon. We think the EETC, though, is a necessary corollary. There's a lot of companies that are involved in other kinds of manufacturing, and as they do that, sometimes of necessity, there's going to be pollution. And we want this bill to reward the rest of those companies that are doing innovative practices. And we know that sometimes those kinds of investments are difficult to pencil out. Throughout these industries, some new and some traditional, there are many changes that can and should be made to reduce pollution and pioneer more practices. And we urge you to pass this bill and support this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you for all the work that you've done on it. Lisa has just exercised extreme leadership on this and has met with all sides of this issue, and you've really done a wonderful job.
Thank you,
on
Senator.
Everything from the policy to the details to the nits and grits. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
Okay. My name is Myron Burr. Thank you for allowing me to testify today, Madam Chair and Senators Committee. I am a senior environmental engineer with Siltronic Corporation in Portland. One of my primary areas of responsibility is leading resource conservation programs within the company. This effort includes collaborating with suppliers, other companies, and government agencies to reduce our use of water, energy, and other process resources. Siltronic is a major manufacturer of silicon wafers, the primary building block of today's electronic devices. We have been a proud member of the Oregon community for almost 30 years, and we employ almost 900 people in the Portland area. Over these years, Siltronic has been widely recognized by federal, state, and local agencies for its environmental performance and excellence. In fact, just last year, Governor Kulongoski awarded Siltronic the first state sustainability focus award for a large company. It is because we share your concern for Oregon's economy and want to continue our efforts to reduce our environmental impact that we support this bill. So here's the issue as we see it. We have invested many environmental projects over the years, and there are many more that are difficult to fund, especially when there is intense competition for limited capital resources. One of the main areas where we would like to make further progress is in water conservation and reuse. Just to be clear, we've already invested in a number of these projects and are saving over 100 million gallons a year. However, water is relatively cheap, and these projects can be very expensive. So, therefore, these types of projects typically have very long payback periods. And because fresh water is a critical resource, from a public policy perspective, it should be conserved as much as possible as we look forward. As population grows and demand for fresh water increases, the supply of drinking water will be a very challenging issue. Water conservation can help avoid the costly and contentious issues of constructing new reservoirs and impacting wildlife and stream habitat or health. There are also material reclaiming greenhouse gas reduction projects that face the same financial challenges and similar resource conservation objectives. Again, we have made major strides in these areas. We've reclaimed millions of pounds of energy-intensive processed materials per year and avoided the emissions of thousands of tons of greenhouse gases annually. But the next phase of these projects will be much more expensive. In other words, we have picked the low-hanging fruit, and now a boost is needed to get to the rest of the fruit. In addition to providing environmental benefits, these types of investments can also help Oregon businesses keep costs down so they can better compete in the global marketplace. Finally, we have found that environmental projects help preserve and build new jobs. For example, we recently collaborated with a European-based materials reclaim company to have them open a new operation in Portland, creating 21 new jobs in the region. So we think this bill can help facilitate these types of sustainability investments. One example of a similar policy that works very well is the Energy Tax Credit Program. I'm sure you're familiar with that. It's administered by the Oregon Department of Energy and has helped many Oregon companies reduce their energy use and their greenhouse gas emissions. A recent study of this program by Econ Northwest concluded that the BETC and RETC programs, Business Energy Tax Credit and Residential Energy Tax Credit programs, generate over $200 million in net benefits to the Oregon economy each year, including over 1,000 new jobs annually. This study also found that these tax credit programs created an additional $10 million in tax revenues for the state. In my 25 years in the environmental and energy fields, I have not seen a more effective program. In short, this kind of program leverages business capital for projects that are preferred by Oregon policy. So if it is Oregon policy to pursue and promote sustainable development, a mechanism that collaborates with the businesses by leveraging their resources to accomplish these objectives is right on target. So I share the concerns of some who say that the bill is not perfect. The Department of Revenue is probably the most appropriate agency to administer tax credit programs. But this bill presents us with an important opportunity to improve both Oregon's economy and environment. We are currently faced with increased environmental issues and challenging global economic developments. Let's not do nothing. Let's capitalize on this opportunity and create a more sustainable Oregon, one that provides more jobs, more economic opportunities, and less environmental impacts. Overall, this bill brings Oregon closer to our goal of an economically competitive and environmentally viable place to work and live. We want the state of Oregon to be a leader as we move forward. That is why Siltronic Corporation supports this bill. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. The third witness here, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Thank you. My name is Kristen Johnson, and I'm here representing Denton Plastics. 25 years ago, Denton Plastics was founded on the belief that it is possible to help the environment and promote economically sound business principles at the same time. It is for this reason that we support the Environmental Enhancement Tax Credit. Denton Plastics is a small, local, minority-owned family business. We employ about 40 people, offering family wage jobs with benefits for all of our employees. Over the past 25 years, we have grown in size and operations to meet the growing needs of our customers. By taking plastics out of the waste stream and compounding them into new resins, we not only help the environment, but also offer quality material at a cost savings to manufacturers. We continue to create more options for our customers to be able to choose recycled where before they would have been unable. We are able to do this because we understand the business and we understand the material. And as a result of the increasing awareness of the importance of sustainability, we are seeing more of a demand for reprocessed materials. This means we need to go deeper into the waste stream to increase our feedstock. Recycling plastics is truly sustainable. Plastics are widely used and an important part of our everyday lives. Recycling plastics uses a fraction of the energy it requires to produce virgin material. Plastic scrap will always exist, and recycling it takes advantage of material that would otherwise be trash and gives it new economic value. and that value will be there for as long as people use plastic. That market makes recycling plastic sustainable. We want to expand that market and make it possible for more material to be pulled out of the trash and be used to support the economy. We support the enhanced environmental tax credit because going in deeper into the waste stream requires developing the processes that make this possible. Recycling more material requires investments of time, research, and capital. The EETC allows us to make these investments while still being a responsible customer, supplier, and employer. We need support in order to make these strides in recycling. So why is the expansion that the EETC would spark important? At Denton Plastics, we have already developed some new plans for how we would use the tax credit. Options that we have explored all involve creating a significant number of new jobs, likely more than doubling our current employment levels. And these jobs would be in the manufacturing industry, an area where our state has seen a steady decline in employment. But more than that, the effects of the tax credit would be spread throughout the industry, benefiting not only the people who directly receive the tax credit, but beyond. It allows us to provide more material and different varieties at cost savings for our customers, allowing them to grow and develop as well. It also creates a stable market for plastic scrap, which helps make collections and recycling more economical and will provide a financial incentive for material to be continuously pulled from the waste stream. For Denton Plastics, this tax credit isn't just about helping the environment. It's about helping business. It's about supporting sustainable businesses. Where is there the most room for improving the environmental effects of businesses in the manufacturing industry? Where is Oregon seeing a consistent decline in jobs in the manufacturing industry? However, for the manufacturing industry to move towards becoming more sustainable, we need financial support making the initial capital investment, which is often significant. By providing businesses the ability to take advantage of opportunities to grow in the direction of sustainability, we are not only helping the environment, but we are helping the economy. By approving this tax credit, the state will be opening up the door for sustainable growth, and in this climate, businesses will step up. I thank you for your consideration, and I encourage any of you, if you're interested, to come visit us.
Thank you. I accept.
Thank you.
Any questions? Senator Wrestler.
I'll go with you.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But I also wanted to compliment Ms. Johnson on your letter. I know you read most of it, but this it really is the crux of where Oregon not only is, but needs to go. This is our path. This is our brand. And you said that very well.
Thank you. Questions, comments? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think this question is directed more to our staff, to Chris. Looking at the Eco Northwest analysis of the Betsy and the I don't know what to call
it.
RETSI. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Programs. We've issued $73.8 million in tax credits. That's a direct offset to state revenue and program administration costs in 2006. But the other side of that is we've had a return back to the state and local government by only $10 million. Seems to me there's a big delta between the two in terms of direct impact to local and state government. I wonder if you might comment on, is that normal? It seems to be pretty a small return, I guess you might say, based on the increased employment and economic activity.
Well, that's Senator Morse, the $74 million in credits for 2006 wouldn't be claimed all in that first year. Claimed over a number of years. I'm trying to digest the report here.
So the $10 million in 1 year and the credit is taken over multiple years?
Yeah, taken over 5 years. But the $10 million, well, in terms of, if I'm reading this correctly, the $10 million is kind of a feedback effect. Is mm-hmm. that the crux of your question?
We don't have anybody from Eco Northwest. So did you want to comment on that?
Senator, I might address that question. I haven't thoroughly digested the report, but in looking at it, the way it was explained in the report is that there's a base case scenario, And if you took that 73.6 million and it was invested in other governmental programs, that was kind of the baseline. So if you didn't invest it in other governmental programs, but you instead invested it into Tbetsy and Retsy, the delta from the baseline is an additional $10 million in tax revenues. So that's, you know, how I understand it. And I'm sure Chris can, if he had the report, in fact, I have a copy, he could probably help us understand a little bit better. But that's my understanding, is that there is an additional $10 million to state and local governments in tax revenues because of those two programs.
Okay, so it's an offset. You're assuming the money would get spent on something else.
Exactly, yes.
Thank you.
That makes sense.
As we go down this path, we just need to have a better understanding of how those energy tax credits are really good.
We do. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. Okay, our next panel is Andrea Durbin and Jeremiah Bauman.
Good afternoon. I'm Andrea Durbin, Executive Director of the Oregon Environmental Council. Madam Chair, members of the committee. Oregon Environmental Council asks for your support of Senate Bill 1091. This bill provides Oregon businesses with a tax incentive to employ environmental protection measures that prevent, eliminate, or reduce air and water pollution, solid and hazardous waste, and that encourage environmentally safe disposal of used oil. We support this bill because it encourages companies to achieve environmental benefits that go above and beyond compliance with current state and federal laws and regulations. These tax credits can help spur innovative solutions to environmental problems and bring Oregon businesses to the forefront of environmental leadership. To achieve that result, the bill specifically requires that tax credits be awarded to those investments that exemplify best practices and innovative technologies and which address some of the state's priority environmentally related problems. It also requires applicants for the tax credits to be in full compliance with local, state, and federal air quality, water quality, and hazardous waste laws. Without the proposed tax credits, companies lack the incentive to invest in environmental protection measures that exceed compliance requirements. This bill provides an attractive path for Oregon companies to improve their environmental performance. We urge your support of Senate Bill 1091 to give Oregon businesses a strong incentive to greatly reduce and ideally eliminate pollution and waste, to recover and reuse materials from the waste stream, and to drive the development of new and creative technologies to achieve these goals. Thank you very much for your consideration today.
Thank you. Jeremiah?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for having me here today. My name is Jeremiah Bauman. I'm the program director with Environment Oregon. We're the new home of OSPERG's environmental programs. I thought I would just briefly give a little bit of context on how we look at this bill and then talk specifically about how it compares to the old pollution control tax credit, since as recently as several months ago we were in a room similar to this speaking against that tax credit. But today I am here to speak in favor of the environmental enhancement tax credit. I think that the environmental enhancement tax credit comes at a very appropriate time for where Oregon is at in terms of the history of environmental progress in this state. For too many years, the state was trapped in a stale debate that pitted environmentalists against business, that pitted environmental protection against growing the economy. And I think in the last several years, the state has really turned a corner in embracing the fact that most of the time, protecting the environment is good for business, is good for the economy, at a minimum by enhancing the quality of life that gives companies and workers a reason to live in Oregon. But even more specifically, whether it's renewable energy that reduces greenhouse gas emissions and creates jobs at the same time, or whether it's toxic chemical use reduction that reduces pollution going into the environment and saves companies money on an expensive material input to their process, there are a lot of opportunities for companies to benefit and for our economy to benefit from protecting the environment. This bill fits with that spirit exactly by rewarding companies who are true environmental leaders, who go above and beyond what they're required to do under our current environmental laws, whether local, state, or federal. And that is the critical reason that we support the Environmental Enhancement Tax Credit. There was one major problem with the old Pollution Control Tax Credit, which is that companies got tax subsidies simply for complying with the law.
That has a couple of problems with it. First, it's not exactly setting a standard of environmental leadership to reward companies financially for doing what they have to do anyway. And secondly, from a fiscal perspective, the taxpayers of Oregon are foregoing revenue for companies, but they're not getting anything in return. If the tax credit didn't exist, the companies would still have to do the same activity because they have to comply with the law. So the tax credit isn't changing behavior and isn't getting an added environmental benefit despite the environmental nature of the tax credit. But those are the reasons we oppose the pollution control tax credit, and those are not part of this debate. The environmental enhancement tax credit clearly does not apply if the technology is required to comply with the law, and so we are thrilled to be able to support this tax credit as an appropriate way to incentivize business leaders to be the true leaders that Oregonians want us to be and to go above and beyond requirements of the law and develop innovative solutions for new environmental performance. And so I recommend the support of this bill for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you see the connection, as others have, with this, the values of this program and the values of the VETSE program.
Madam Chair, absolutely. The VETSE program has been a good model for encouraging renewable energy development for businesses and giving them rewards for choosing solutions that help reduce the greenhouse gas emissions in the state of Oregon and other environmental consequences of our fossil fuel dependence. This is, I think, a smart way to take that lesson and apply it to other sectors of the environment, whether it's water quality, water conservation, or other environmental issues where companies can and should and want to be going above and beyond what they're required to do.
Thank you. Well, I know it was quite a struggle for me to even think of something in this subject area because of the old ones and my strong opposition to them, as you did. And so I think to be able to get something good, to get the good nut out of that is good. And I really commend you for working so productively with the business community on this. Thank you. Any other questions from the
Senator Atkinson?
Thank you. Jeremiah, since we're kind of brainstorming a concept here, really, does your organization or both organizations have a policy that would support or be opposed to a tax credit like this being tradable in the future, monetized or tradable?
Madam Chair, Senator Atkinson, no, and I have not really thought through the full consequences, but with the business energy tax credits and the residential energy tax credits, for that matter, the tradability is, in fact, one of the key components that makes it a valuable tax credit for people that don't have the tax liability to benefit from it otherwise. I think we would, so certainly allowing someone else to buy a tax credit, I think, is a productive way to use a tax credit like this. Whether it's then tradable once it's been purchased, from the person actually engaging in the activity that triggers the tax credit. So are there sort of second and third degree opportunities to trade? I haven't really thought through whether there are any adverse implications to that. But certainly we think people should be able to sell the tax credit at least once so that more people can take advantage of it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We have six people signed up in opposition, so I'm going to divide you into two panels of three. We'll start out with Craig Smith, John Ledger, and Mark Nelson.
Madam Chairman, members of the committee, I'm John Ledger, Associated Oregon Industries. I think they are fetching Mark, who will be here quickly, I think. We agree with just about everything that's been said about this bill. Tax credits do work. We think the VETSE model is a good model and probably something we ought to move closer to. AOI represents about 16,000 member companies, over 300 manufacturers. About 200,000 working Oregonians work for our members. We're also part of a large coalition. I think you've probably seen it. It includes American Forest Products Association, Northwest Food Processors, or OFIC, Oregonians for Food and Shelter, Home Builders, Associated Oregon Industries, Northwest Pulp and Paper, Oregon Metals, Farm Bureau, Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association, who have all looked at this bill and dealt with this issue for some years in quite some detail. I think every organization on this list has a slightly different reason for opposing this bill, although the bill comes very close to something we'd like to see. First of all, these pollution control tax credit laws have always been and still are, whatever their form, absolutely mind-numbingly complex. And you'll be pleased to know, since the bill is not moving, I came prepared to actually walk you through the bill, like if you had to get a credit. And it's amazing. And I'm a little disappointed, frankly, that you're not going to vote on this bill, because it took me hours to go ahead and put this together. It would be almost worth the vote. Okay.
That's why you get the big bucks.
Okay, so put that there. Ticks me off. All right. It's unclear whether this bill offers anything to agriculture, forestry, or dairy operations, all of which are going to be facing huge challenges in the future. And I think that's a big piece we need to look at. As far as I know, nobody in those sectors was involved in the compilation of this bill. As far as I know, nobody who represents these associations that I listed to you was involved in the compilation of this bill. And I think we probably could have come to something that worked had that been the case. I've had numerous conversations with the requesters of the bill, and I'd like to say I work closely with Lisa Adato, and it has been a pleasure to work with her. They have always been very open. There are a lot of technical problems associated with this bill that I will not go through now. But one thing I just wanted to mention, because, and maybe this is all moot, but we go and back and forth on this issue of beyond federal, beyond state. And when people say exceed the law, you have to think, exceed which law? There's state, there's federal, state, and local. And if you pass a measure that says you get a credit when you exceed both federal and state, that is an incentive for the business community to not support more state stringent rules. Because if you're thinking about doing something to your plant, like you just heard, people do, and a lot of facilities do this, they do extra stuff for whatever reason. If you all of a sudden support more strict state rules, you don't get a credit. The only way you can maintain maximum credits is to hold back state rules. Conversely, if you get a credit for exceeding federal rules, regardless of whether you're exceeding state or not, if you say you can meet strict state rules and get the credit just by meeting the strict state rules, everybody will want those state rules to be more strict. The best solution you could have would be this. Oregon have the most strict rules you could possibly have. Businesses get a credit for going beyond federal to meet those rules. And that's an incentive for them to come and stay. You would get the best of all possibilities that way.
So you want to go back to the good old days of the ones we repealed, correct?
I would like, I think it might take another form. But if you just think about it, you want the best environment, and you want businesses pushing for the best environment. So you say, okay, state, you do as strict as you want. We support you being more strict, because when we meet your more strict standards, we get a tax credit. Instead of saying, state, you get more strict, all of a sudden if I do the same thing, I don't get the credit, because I'm just meeting state law. So there are all kinds of permutations to this on an economic sense that I think people need to think about. There are a lot of things here that I won't touch on, but one of the things I think we need to bear in mind is in 2009, we are going to be seeing such a huge snowball coming at us from all kinds of things. One is there are going to be new water quality, state water quality toxic standards hitting us, and they might be half again as stringent as they are now, and that's going to be because of the salmon consumption issue. And our mills, everybody's going to have to meet those. And some of them will, some of them can, and some of them can't. But that's going to be coming down the road. We're going to have a lot of greenhouse gas stuff coming down the road that's going to hit us. We're going to have a lot of what's called best available control technologies coming through and hitting both air and water plants. This is all going to come in a big mass at us in 2009. And I think what we need to do between now and then, frankly, is instead of nibble at the edges, and I think everything these companies do is great, we have to sit down and figure out some more comprehensive, better way on how we're going to have Oregon stay in the forefront and still be able to compete globally. And right now, I don't know what that would look like. What I would like to see would be everybody on that list I read off, which is all, essentially all the manufacturing groups. I'd like to invite the environmental groups. I'd like to invite the requesters of this bill, maybe some of you, to sit down and say, how are we going to do this in some comprehensive, big package way so we're not approaching this like we historically have our tax base, our taxes, which is nibbling at the edges. And I would really hope that before 09, or when we come into 09, we don't see fragmented bills coming from AOI or anybody else, but a comprehensive approach that we can come to you with, because you're going to have to deal with these things that will help you. And if we can, that's what we'd like to put together for 09. We think this is just not the right bill for 08. But we understand the intentions, and we... Well, hopefully we can put something bigger together for 09.
Thank you. Questions for the committee?
Thank you. I'm Craig Smith. I'm Vice President of the Northwest Food Processors Association, and I really, really appreciate you taking the time to hear this bill and to have us have an opportunity to be here today. I'm here today as a part of a coalition who are opposed to Senate Bill 1091, and I want to give you just kind of a quick overview of some of the reasons why. Food processors are an incredibly important part of Oregon's economy. The food industry accounts for nearly 16% of the state's employment and is a $20.6 billion industry in the Northwest. That quote is not one that I wrote. That's one from the Oregon Inc. website, where they also list two of my members in their Innovation Hall of Fame, Sabroso Company and Norpak Foods, for their work on energy and environment-related projects, their innovative approaches, and their hard work on protecting the environment. That innovation plan was hotly debated and considered by this legislature last year, and it was a part of a broad-based, collaborative, I think very well thought through process that ultimately selected the food processing industry as one of the critical core industries of Oregon's economy and funded us to do an innovation and productivity center, which is currently being rolled out to help the food processing industry in Oregon become even more innovative in its approach. That's a part of Oregon's long-term plan to develop a strong and sustainable economy. Senate Bill 1091 was not developed through this kind of robust collaborative process. We were not included in the development of this bill. We strongly support pollution control tax credit approaches, but this bill is inadequate. It will not help my members make investment in the way that they need to solidify their place in the Oregon economic scene. We would support very much a process of sitting down with folks who are trying to rework this bill and look at what needs to happen that would be a very inclusive, collaborative process that would include our industry. But right now, Senate Bill 1091 is not something that we can approach. Investing in the future of Oregon's economy, we believe, is incredibly important. With the limited resources, it must be done judiciously. As one of the key drivers of the economy, our industry would urge you not to pass Senate Bill 1091. And I would be glad to answer any questions. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Questions? Thank you. Nelson.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Nelson, representing Oregon Metals Industry Council. I'll be brief. John's covered, and Craig, many of the issues. I've been through, I think, two, maybe it's three, John, sunsets of the original pollution control tax credits, where we came back in, worked with the governor's office, with both sides of the aisle, and we developed changes in that controversial, as it's been, I think many of you know, program. That was set to sunset. Those changes in 2007. Those changes that we made previously, I think, made a better bill. But again, the program continued to be controversial. We came together last session with full knowledge that we needed to really turn it totally upside down and revamp the tax credit program and coming up with another name, another approach. And I think OBA and AOI, who led that effort, did that. They put together a proposal that in the end didn't get through this body. I think it speaks to the process, though, that I think we need to continue to move forward. The Metals Industry Council of Food Processors, who I also represent, are committed to participating in that with OBA and AOI taking the lead, but we really believe that it needs to encompass all manufacturers in this state. We believe that this particular approach is very limited, it's very complicated, as was the original pollution control tax credit bill, that it's not enough to spend the limited time we have here to try to make this bill work. We think it needs a broader approach. We think the environmental community needs to take an active part as opposed, and we have indications that they're willing to do that, or certain portions of them are willing to do that, rather than taking an approach that, no, we want nothing, we want everything to end. We believe we need all three of those components, OBA, AOI, and the environmental community, and the manufacturing community as a whole, to really put together a bill that works, and we're committed to do that. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Questions? Thank you. Okay. Tom Gallagher and two people with Beth Hedren. Katie Fast, maybe, from OFB, and I think it's Kathy Van Natta. I'm pretty sure about the Van Natta, not sure about the Kathy. I'm bad on handwriting. Did you write this, Tom?
No.
Good. Discharge.
You wouldn't have read
anything. This is the only one I could read.
You wouldn't have read anything if I'd read it.
Glad you wrote it.
Madam Chair, my name is Tom Gallagher, representing Snitzer Steel Industries. Snitzer's been involved in pollution control tax credits since the beginning, and quite frankly, and we kind of think that particular direction is over. It sunsetted last time. We think that the issue is going to turn to carbon in the next session. We believe that these tax credits, these business tax credits, which are quite controversial in the committees, there are good tax credits and bad tax credits for business. We think that we need to put a program together next year as we begin looking at the bigger carbon bill that's going to work with all of the industries that are going to need help, and that are in the national, international business and local business. We don't have any objection to supporting local sustainability and local businesses moving forward in those, as some of the earlier witnesses talked about, and that perhaps would be in the bigger bill. But from our perspective, it's if we're going to sequester some monies for business in terms of business tax credits, we need to look at the next round of major costs that are coming into the Oregon economic marketplace. Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Catherine Venata, Governmental Affairs Manager of the Northwest Pulp and Paper Association, one of your manufacturing sectors represented by AOI. I don't want to repeat anything, but I think I'd like to share something that's been left out of the conversation today, and that is how the old pollution control tax credit did do some of the same things that you're thinking about wanting to do as far as incentivizing business and changing the way things happen, and recycling is what I want to focus on. The pollution control tax credit was largely responsible for the retooling of your pulp and paper mills in this state to do recycling of paper. The paper industry is the most capital-intensive manufacturing industry in the United States. It takes a lot of capital to run those mills. A single mill could be a $1 billion facility if it's a large mill. And in this environment, when we started moving more towards recycling, we did use the pollution control tax credit to help us install new technology as we converted from purely using virgin fiber to doing recycling. And so when you look at the paper in front of you, when you look at your newspaper, when you look at the other paper products in your home, a lot of those paper products have recycled content. And if you're really lucky, they're made in Oregon. are they're made in Washington right across the river, and they don't travel very far to get to your doorstep where you consume them. They don't use a lot of fossil fuels to get there, but there's a lot of other states in the United States that aren't quite that lucky. So as we go forward, we'd like to be part of the conversation. We think that there are some good things that we can do in the future. We think that there are some amazing things we've done in the past, some good stories we can tell, and we'd like to engage in that conversation.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, that's the end of the opponents, so we'll go back to some proponents. Lisa has to leave at 2, so Lisa, I'm going to invite you back along with Morgan Ryder and Robert Krott. And John, go. Okay. I can't blame bad handwriting because it's typed. Tidewater. And we have 3 chairs and 4 people, so maybe one of you could sit in reserve, and then when Lisa leaves, you can take her spot. Thank you.
Senator, thank you for allowing me to return for just a minute. I did want
to identify yourself.
Oh, please. I'm Lisa Adada with the Oregon Business Association. And I did want to just state for the record that we are very happy to work with all the other associations and actually tried very hard to do so. So we are very interested in having input from all of the groups that would be interested in using such a credit. And OBA has always been very open to that. Just want to make that clear.
On the record.
Thank you.
And you need to leave.
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you come up and join the panel? There you go.
Right.
Good afternoon. I'm John Pickett. I'm the general manager of Tidewater Barge Lines. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for allowing me to testify here. Tidewater Barge Lines is an Oregon corporation that has been in business for 75 years. We work both in Oregon and in the state of Washington. We provide inland marine transportation services from the mouth of the Columbia River up to Lewiston, Idaho on the Snake River. We are in the business of principally moving grain and petroleum, but we move fertilizer and containers and wood products as well. We are here to support the Environmental Enhancement Tax Credit. It has been noticed by our company. We have a very long-standing commitment through our guiding principles of operation to environmental stewardship. Looking at all the various things that we would like to do with our equipment, with our operations, which are all very capital intensive, we have found that tax credits have been absolutely vital, particularly in times of declining revenues, as we are now moving into, to get some of these improvements done and to provide the environmental benefits of those improvements. And in our particular business, we also have a small shipyard in Troutdale, Oregon. And a lot of the work that we do on these vessels is done in that shipyard, as a matter of fact, almost exclusively. So there are 100-plus jobs there in Troutdale that continue to be sustained through these additional pieces of work that we are able to accomplish through the use of tax credits. I would hope that going forward, perhaps this bill needs a little bit of adjusting along the way, but from a business perspective, I feel it is absolutely essential that businesses are given the flexibility that the tax credits do to truly engage in the environmental programs that they see as central to their businesses and central to the benefits of the committees, you know, or the communities where we do our work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Hi, thank you. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak today. My name is Morgan Ryder, and I am with Ecology and Environment, and we are a consulting firm in Portland and nationally. Prior to working for E&E, I actually was the environmental manager at LSI Logic, which is now On Semiconductor out in Gresham. And we actually, at the time, used the PC pollution control tax credit to help justify implementation of thermal processing units to destroy PFCs, which are global warming gases. And we're also looking at it to use for a water reclaim system. And having that financial benefit to include in the ROI helped to justify those projects. So it definitely was extremely beneficial and used in the decision-making process for things that were not required. You know, I think it seems that much of the, dissent from other people or other organizations is that this is only for projects that go beyond compliance. And I would say right now, most of the large industries in Oregon should be in compliance already. That these issues, there are some TMDL coming up, there are some carbon issues that may come up in the future, but really that those are relatively minor. And we should be encouraging companies to look for projects that help them go beyond what's just required and providing the incentive to help them do that. So in my mind, this bill is just really a win-win. There are no losers, and there is really no downside. If they don't like it, they need not apply for the tax credit, essentially. The basic premise of providing a financial incentive to help companies justify and implement these projects and initiatives that go beyond compliance benefit not only the companies, but they benefit their employers, and they also benefit the Oregon community as a whole because of the improvements in air quality, because of the improvements in water quality and land quality. It's not only corporate welfare, as some may perceive it, but it's a public-private commitment to improving the Oregon environment and the economy. A lot of companies, if they're looking at some of these projects, and it's cheaper to potentially do elsewhere, if Oregon has the benefit or the incentive to help them make these improvements, it's, again, another benefit being perceived for the state overall. Opposition to this bill really, to me, seems short-sighted, although the primary difference in language and benefits is slightly different than the old PCTC. The times we now are facing are very different. When that was first enacted, it was primarily because there were a lot of new environmental regulations for requirements on water quality and air quality, and it was perceived as a huge burden for these companies to come into compliance at that point in time. But today, most of our major companies, like I said before, they are in compliance. We've moved beyond the cleanup and remediation from the 80s to in the 90s, it was management systems and compliance, and the days we're in right now is sustainability, and sustainability is looking for future generations and looking for things that companies can do that are better than what they're already doing. And by committing for the state to do make these improvements, it really is beneficial. Although the new regulations are still being enacted that may cause a financial burden, such as the carbon issues or, like John said, the TMDLs, industries to move from their operations may move offshore because of these issues to avoid the excessive costs and maintain competitiveness. In some cases, small towns that in rural Oregon, with only one major employer, if they shut down because of these burdens, the whole community would lose jobs. So it's not just an environmental issue or environmental benefit. It's really a benefit to the economy. It's a benefit to the people of Oregon. These cases are not the norm. I think most companies are really looking to make operational improvements because they're recognizing that economic benefits and ecologic benefits are one and the same. You reduce your resources, you reduce your improve your bottom line. You reduce your waste, you improve your bottom line. You conserve energy, you reduce your bottom line. So there's all of these benefits that go together, and if the state can provide incentives to help these companies, I really think overall, again, it's just a win-win. Another one of the benefits that this new bill has is the environmental management system support, and that was something that the old PCTC did not have. I would say most regulated facilities in the large types that John Ledger and AOI work with, they already have management systems in place, but 80 to 90% of the businesses in Oregon are small and medium-sized enterprises, and they don't necessarily have the resources or understanding to implement these EMSs. And if we can provide some financial incentives or some help to them to implement EMSs, again, it helps these businesses and it helps the Oregon economy overall. Again, I don't think there's really a downside to this. It does not help them meet compliance as some would have liked, but that was only really a small piece. This new law would really provide justify facilities to implement projects and systems that benefit for everybody. I think that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Robert Grott. I'm Executive Director of the Northwest Environmental Business Council, and we are a strong supporter of this bill. In fact, we worked very closely with the Oregon Business Association in crafting the original, the predecessor for the bill that came before the legislature last session. NEBC's members include 170 companies with thousands of employees working in the environmental sector. Environment is our business, but we also care deeply, of course, about the environment and the state's economy and its ability to attract businesses developing new environmental technologies. So we believe that this form of an investment tax credit is good for a couple of reasons. One, to remain a leader in environmental protection, we have to support, as other people have said, our businesses. We have energy efficiency, we have incentives for energy efficiency, for job creation, and other societal benefits. We think environmental protection deserves to be on that list. These incentives are just similar to, again, the Betsy, which I support along with everyone else as a model for this. It encourages businesses to locate here because it's fertile ground to try their new technologies out. We have companies, Oregon companies like Bioreaction Industries in Tualatin that has a air and soil remediation technologies. The stormwater is a management is a big thing in the Northwest. We have companies like Stormwater RX, Hydrofix, Contact Stormwater Solutions. These are all pushing the technology envelope in their fields, and to the extent that we provide them with their customers with incentives, they can start growing and thriving here rather than going to other locations that are more fertile. Of course, as our businesses are creating, competing more on a global scale, they want to do the right thing, but they have to be competitive. And that's why we think, this incentive approach is a good one. I will say that it also addresses the ag and dairy and food processing are certainly not left out as far as any investments they make for the same reasons. And certainly we've worked with those industries and the metals industries and the wood processing industries last session. This bill isn't everything we wanted. I certainly agree with John that it needs to be cleaned up. We hope to have that chance. I think the pass through of a sale is critical. We want to be sure that the environmental management systems are in there, and the bill is written in a way it works. But this isn't what we pushed forward was not, despite what some people claim, the same old PCTC. Some of the nuances were lost. But what we're talking about this year is going with to the portion that had general support, which is just above and beyond. We're trying to move forward. And some say that this is working around the edges. I'd like to think that we're starting at the core and building a seed that can sort of be a platform to serve the needs that come up over time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Hass.
I have a question, Madam Chair, but a comment on the barges about, I'm just amazed at 239 tons of pollution that reducing or replacing two engines would do. Astounding. Makes me think that we should just have a special barge pollution tax credit.
Right here, Madam Chair.
One other kind of factoid. We move over 5 million tons of various cargo a year. If that was to all be put on the road, that would be a truck leaving upbound or downbound on I-84 every 2 minutes, round the clock, 365 days a year.
Yeah.
Kind of frightening to contemplate.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
The new diesel technology is incredible, and we've been talking about how to convert trucks over to clean diesel. This is an interesting technology here to convert these huge barges over to clean diesel, something that ought to be encouraged.
Barge Prius.
Barge Prius, right?
Well, one of certainly my motivations in pushing this is to try to develop, to encourage the kind of innovation that will become integrated in the industry as a whole. And if you're doing something with diesel, then that will have, you know, implications for other industries and other businesses, and it can be, you know, part of the future new source review. And because I think, you know, when we talk about tax credits, we really have to talk about, are the taxpayers getting their money's worth out of the credit? And if we have rules that require a certain level of compliance, then those are the rules. And so to give the taxpayers extra benefit, then you have to do something better than the rules. And I think you made that point very well, Ms. Ryder. And I'm glad you were using the old ones in that way. Not everyone was. All right. Is there other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Okay, that's the end of my sign-up list here. Is there anybody else who wanted to speak on this? All right. So, again, to reiterate what I said at the beginning, we're not going to move this bill today. It's a very complicated area, and I really liked what I was hearing about the willingness of people to work together. And I also want to note that the Department of Environmental Quality has been a very good participant in this process and is continuing to work to make something that will actually be workable, including in the transferability area. So with that, we will say adios, but not a permanent goodbye to Bill 1091, Senator Monroe.
Before I bang that gavel, I would certainly encourage you, Madam Chair, to put together a work group of all the interested folks. We heard from proponents and opponents. All of them had something important to contribute. I encourage you to put together a work group toward the possibility of forming a interim committee bill sometime between now and January of 2009, so that we can have something that has most of the compromises and necessary language worked out before we come back here next January.
That's an excellent suggestion, and my goal in all of this is just to keep up with the work group, because there's been a lot of good work that's gone on out there and will continue to go on. So, excellent suggestion, and that's what's in the works, is to try to get something that people can agree on for 2009. So, thank you all for coming, and with that, we are adjourned.